All right, Wednesday morning, the automobile is on the air, and we're getting sprayed by the sprinklers here.
That's
a very interesting start to the show here already.
A very interesting start.
But we'll keep on going. I think we're still going.
There you are, right there.
Are we still going or are we not going, Leon? We're still on the air.
This is a great one.
If you don't think we're live on this show, well, you got another guest coming. So I know this thing's coming this way. Look at my pants. Someone's going to pay for this right here.
Yeah.
But anyway. I think what we're going to do is, how about we come around inside here for a second?
There you go.
I don't know what's going to happen here. So hold on. Let me go over here first.
You go first. I'll hold your mic. You know, this doesn't happen to an offensive guy, but you had a defensive guy being the host. You never know what's going to happen. Well, they went off, Bo. They just went off. Now he's back on.
You know who I'm going to blame? I'm going to blame this on Leon. Leon, who should know. Leon, don't you pay attention to the schedule of the sprinklers here at Dolphin training camp? Huh? Anyway, joining me, my guest today, Robert Allen Greasy, the Hall of Famer. And Bob, you just
yes, sir.
Speaking of, how was that, huh? How was that for the start to the show?
Well, you know, like I said, an offensive guy would have had that all thought out, taken care of. He would have looked around and said, wait a minute now, there's some sprinklers here. Now, make sure these things aren't going to go off just when you're welcoming everybody.
Let me ask you this. How many years did you do the games with Keith Jackson?
I did broadcasting for 30 years, and I think I was with Keith for 15.
So you learned this early on. When something like that goes wrong, it's always the producer's fault, right?
Oh, of course.
And Leon is a producer. Leon, come on over here, Leon. Get on camera here so everyone can see. Leon right here. It was his responsibility to make sure that we didn't get our ass drenched over here by this thing. And I got a pretty good drenching, I tell you that.
You did.
That was a surprise.
You deserve it.
That was okay.
You deserve it, being the host.
Anyway, go ahead and get a shot here. Hey, go ahead and get a shot, Logan, of him over there, so we can get him on the camera with this whole thing. Hey, what happened with the sprinklers over there? Perfect timing. All right, let's kind of move on now that we got past that. Bob, before we kind of start talking about the Dolphins and expectations, they got their first preseason game tomorrow night against the Atlanta Falcons at Hard Rock Stadium. But you just came back from Canton, Jason Taylor's induction up there, and you spent a good amount of time up there. What was the scene like up there, and how special was it to see another member of the Miami Dolphins join that great fraternity in the Hall of Fame?
Yeah, it's always nice when one of our own. Yep. You know, I always go up, and I always see a bunch of our old guys there, Larry Little, Coach Shula, can't make it anymore. He doesn't go back up. But Paul Warfield was there, Zonka was there, and it was nice to see another Miami Dolphin going in. And this one was special because he got in on his first try. You know, everybody asked me up there, you know, who would you like to see in? And the first words out of my mouth are Bob Kuchenberg.
Yeah, I'm with you on that.
You know, there's a senior thing going on, and I hear that he has been considered a couple of times on that senior thing, and other guys, hopefully, in the not-too-distant future, his name will come up and be inducted.
And you played with Cooch a long time, and you played with Cooch when Cooch was Cooch. And, you know, the one thing I talk about Cooch is this guy played through a lot of stuff, and he was a tough guy out there, played multiples, all pro at three different positions on the offensive line, played under duress from an injury standpoint a lot of his career. Played on every Super Bowl that the Dolphins have ever been in, he played in, and so why he's not in the Hall of Fame? I had this conversation with Peter King a few years ago. We were in Pittsburgh, and he asked me about Bob, and I said, "Look, I said all the things I just said there, that reasons why." But
let me ask you a question. We've already got two guys of the offensive line, that offensive line in the Hall of Fame. Is there any team in the history of the NFL who has three offensive linemen in the Hall of Fame? And if not, that might be one thing that's holding him back.
And that's what, you know, I talked to Peter King about. He said one of the things is that's holding back is the number of Hall of Famers. But then you go and look at Pittsburgh, and you look at those Pittsburgh teams of the 70s, and they've got a number of Hall of Famers in there on both sides of the football. To me, that's not a good argument, especially when you look at the accomplishments of the 72 team and that offensive line. And you were a running football team and a power running football team, and he was as big a part of it as anybody else. Now, I know Joe DeLaMalier got in in his first – I think he went in as a first ballot guy. And I had a chance to play against Joe when he was up at Buffalo.
Yeah.
And I had a chance to practice against Bob Kuchenberg. And no, you know, nothing against Joe DeLaMalier. He's a great player. But I'd rather play against Joe every day than play against Cooch every day.
When you mentioned Pittsburgh and you asked me about the Hall of Fame weekend, one of my favorite players to see up there, and it comes back, is Mean Joe Green.
Yep.
Mean Joe Green is not mean.
No, no.
He is the nicest guy you'd ever want to meet. And then the other guy, I kind of trend over to the defensive guys, was Bobby Bell.
Yeah.
Kansas City.
Yep.
Because we had some great games against Kansas City, and we had some great games against the Steelers.
Yeah.
And Mean Joe Green was always talking.
Yeah.
I'm up at the line of scrimmage, and I got Langer there, and I got Larry Little.
He's in that little, got that little slam in there.
And I got Kuchenberg, and he's right there talking, like, here I come, Bob. He's got and I'm saying, Joe, I got you taken care of because three of my best players are right here.
Right.
You know? Well, he hit me one time. He hit me one time, and I go back there, and I threw the ball, and I got up, and I talked to – I said, Larry Little, Larry – I can't see. I think I'm blinded. And Larry came over and he straightened out my helmet. I'd been looking out my
ear hole.
Yeah. And anyway, every time I see Joe Green, I think about that.
Hey, you mentioned Bobby Bell from that Kansas City team, and I remember the great game. When I became a Dolphin fan, it was Christmas Eve, or was it Christmas Day or Christmas Eve?
Christmas Eve,
Kansas City, longest game ever played. Garrel Yupremian kicks a field goal. Lenny Dawson and Ed Podolak and Morris Stroud and that whole group of guys. And then you talked about Bobby Bell and – what about Willie Lanier on the other side too? He wasn't a lightweight on that side of the football either.
No, he wasn't. There were a bunch of them.
Yep.
And who's the kicker for
Jan Stenerud?
Jan and I were riding on the bus.
Yeah.
Because we go to a lot of places, Hall of Fame weekend, and I sit next to Jan, and he still has not got over that bad game that he had.
Yeah.
And one of those kicks, and we were just talking about it this 3 or 4 days ago.
Yeah.
One of the kicks that he missed that would have put them ahead and won the game was supposed to be a fake.
Yeah.
Now, Bobby Bell, of all people, is the holder.
Right.
The holder.
Bobby Bell.
Bobby Bell was.
Yeah.
Well, maybe he wasn't the holder, but he was the guy blocking.
He was the guy
snapping.
Okay.
Bobby Bell was snapping. Lenny Dawson was holding.
Right.
And listen to these guys talk that it was supposed to be a fake.
Right.
And he was supposed to snap the ball to Jan.
Right.
The kicker. And the kicker he's supposed to run
away.
But then for some reason or other, the thing was called off. He thought that Lenny Dawson checked it out and he flashed a check off that says, don't snap it to the kicker, snap it to me. We're going to kick it. Well, anyway, something happened and the whole thing got – but anyway, Jan Stenerud, one of the greatest kickers, the first and only kicker, place kicker in the Hall of Fame, still can't get
over it. He still laments that one. Yeah.
And I said, Jan, get over it. Get over it.
You're in the Hall of Fame. Get over it.
But one thing he did, and I was glad to see him do it, on Friday at the luncheon, just the Hall of Famers are in there. He stood up and welcomed Mortensen, the second place kicker, into the Hall of Fame. Welcomed him, talked about it a little bit, the highest point scorer in the history of the league. He welcomed him, and I think that's helping Jan get through. But one thing I did mention to him, I said, Jan, I said, you know the Dolphins are coming out there to play the Kansas City Chiefs. Yeah. And he says, oh, yeah. I said, when is it? I said, you know, it just happens to be Christmas Eve. We're playing on December
24th in Kansas City.
Yeah, in Kansas City.
Oh, that'll be a little bit of a little deja vu for you back there.
Yeah, I said, Len, I'm coming out. We'll get together.
Yeah. Hey, I know you've been up in North Carolina. You're just kind of getting yourself back here as you do every year. Come back down to South Florida as the football season rolls around. Have you had a chance to kind of keep an eye on what's going on with this football team and where they're going? And certainly, obviously, the latest news on the injury to Ryan Tannehill and Jay Cutler comes in and takes a spot. Now, you know, it's a situation where you know, in the 72 team where you went down with a broken ankle, Earl Morrill comes in and kind of takes the team through the rest of the way, and you came back late. So it's a little bit of kind of that situation where now you got your starter down. This time they go and trade for someone to come in. Your thoughts on bringing a guy like Jay Cutler in here and how he's going to try to fit into this and try to make it as seamless as possible?
Well, first of all, it was like a punch in the gut. Yeah. When, I mean, you want to get through the preseason games, the four of them, without getting anybody hurt. You certainly don't want to get somebody hurt in practice. Yeah. And you certainly don't want to get your number one guy. I mean, your quarterback, he's the leader of the team. So, first and foremost, that's like a punch in the gut. But history tells us, and you just mentioned a good one, that things don't have to be all doom and gloom throughout the year.
Yep.
Coach Shula, in 72, he went to Joe Robbie in early in the spring in 72 and says, I'm not happy with George Myra or John Stofa. Mm-hmm. Those were the two backups in 70 and 71. He said, I'd like to bring in Earl Morrill. And he said, what's he making? And he was making at the time, Earl was, the only guy that was making more money than him was my contract was higher than Earl's. So anyway, Joe Robbie says, all right. He says, if you really think you need him, we'll bring him in. I'll find some way to pay for him. So Shula brings him in. The fifth game of the year, I go down with a dislocated ankle. Earl comes in. Everybody's a little shaky because they've seen him practice. Now, he wasn't a very good practice player. Earl wasn't a good practice.
Yeah.
So he comes in. He wins the next 9 or 10 games.
Yep.
That's the greatest season the Dolphin ever had.
Yeah.
Now, here we
go. Greatest season the NFL's ever seen.
Well, that's true. You know, in 08, Pennington came in and played well, 11-5 that year. So now Adam Gase goes and gets his guy, like Shula went and got his guy.
Yep.
And so let's don't write the season off.
Yep.
Let's hope that this is one of these history things that we're talking about in 10, 15 years.
Yeah, I've been listening. You know, you listen to the talk shows, you listen to people's conversations, and there's mixed reviews about the situation. And people, well, why didn't you go after this guy instead of that guy? This guy's got that reputation. That guy's got this reputation. But I think, you know, having been around Coach Gase long enough, for a year now, he wants his guys. He wants guys that he knows.
Sure.
He told me this. He said, look, I not only do I want to know what their personality is, not only do I want to know how they play, I want to know what's in here. Yeah. I want to know what their heart's. And so he believes in this guy. Yeah. He knows he fits in. So if it's good enough for him, in my mind, I've seen enough of Coach Gase in 1 year to say if it's good enough for him, good enough for me. I think he made a decision that everybody in this locker room can be comfortable with.
I agree.
Hey, as you get ready to get this season started, I don't think we're going to see a lot of the starters for very long here on Thursday. How important is it for these guys to develop the depth in some of these young guys and a lot of draft choices they brought in that really have opportunities out here? Raekwon McMillan already starting in that linebacker spot. You're getting some of these other guys, Charles Harris getting a lot of time, and there's going to be a lot of guys. Tankersley's going to get a lot of time. So a lot of these guys have an opportunity to really make some hay over these next few preseason games.
This is what the preseason games are there for. And they're, you know, back in the day, we had 6 preseason games. Now they've got 4.
Yep.
They don't need 4 preseason games for the veterans to get ready to play. But these games, especially the early ones, are great for the draft choices and the free agents.
Mm-hmm.
Like you mentioned, McMillan at the middle linebacker.
Yep.
Ohio State was a great player in college. Has really turned it on out here and looked good. But let's see him, you know, when you turn on the lights and you play at night.
Yep.
And Harris, the defensive end from Missouri. good things about him, hearing good things about him. Let's get him out there and see. So it's a great opportunity for Godchild.
Yep. Yep.
You know, hear great things
looking
about
good.
Him.
Looking good, yeah.
You know, and Taylor, the two defensive linemen that were drafted by the Dolphins in the fifth round to come out and say, all right, play against somebody else and show us, you know, what you're doing.
And so far, they're doing one of the things they want to do. They're pushing Jordan Phillips because I think he sees those guys. They're both quality players, and so he's got to lift up his game. So a little byproduct of having those guys in there is to get him to be a little more consistent.
A little competition.
Yep, never hurts.
Competition never hurt anybody, and that's what you bring. You want that at every position. You want it at quarterback position, the running back position. You want it in the offensive line. Competition just makes a ball club.
So Jay Cutler comes in, Bob, as a quarterback coming into a situation. I know you played your entire career with the Miami Dolphins, but if you can put yourself in his shoes, a quarterback coming in a situation like this, how does he engage the guys in the locker room? How does he become one of those guys and let them know that he's here to help them win football games?
Well, I think that is the major thing that he has got to do. It's the same terminology, first of all. Adam Gase had his terminology in Chicago in the offensive system. When he came down to Miami, he brought that same offensive terminology that Jay Cutler was using up there. So Jay comes down, and the biggest problem for him is not going to be the terminology, which normally it would be for a quarterback coming in this late. Normally, if you're going to have a quarterback situation where you're going to bring a guy in to play, you're going to bring him in January or February or March, go through the off-season conditioning program, get to know all the checkoffs and all that other stuff. His biggest problem is going to be his teammates and learning how they run their routes, learning the checkoffs and what the checkoffs are, the offensive line, in the locker room. That's where he's going to have to, how do you run your route? How do you run the post? How do you run that slant? If we see a zone and we're expecting man, you run a different route. And so the biggest problem for him is going to be personnel and not the offensive system.
And Matt Moore, you know, I don't think that Cutler's going to play a lot on Thursday night, tomorrow night. I think he's going to see a bigger dose of Matt Moore. And Matt Moore, one of the great, great personalities on this football team. I think everybody respects him in that locker room, and kind of a tough situation for him. I think they're going to give him that. I think it's going to be the image of a bit of a competition. But like Adam Gase says, look, we didn't bring Jay Cutler in here to sit on the bench.
Yeah.
And you know he's getting a big paycheck. He's coming in to take that over, and really a tough. And you might say a little unfair, but hey, life in the NFL. A tough situation for Matt Moore to find himself in.
Well, when I look at Matt Moore and his career, you know, I go back to the Dolphins, a guy named Don Strock.
Yep.
You know, he backed me up for a while, and he backed up Danny Marino for a while. Some of these guys just are comfortable
they
with
fit
that.
There.
They fit. They're being paid well.
Yep.
And certainly Matt Moore is being paid well. He had an opportunity to go somewhere else, but he renewed his contract a couple times to stay here and be the backup. So he's comfortable in that position. He can come in and win a couple games for you. He can come in and win the game if your main guy gets hurt or knocked out or a concussion or something like that. But to win 16, to play 16 games and to win half of them or more of them, I don't think he's ready for that.
Yeah. You know, the other thing, Bob, is and I've had a lot of people ask me, hey, who's the most important guy for this football team this year success-wise? And it was easy to say, well, Ryan Tannehill coming back and doing it. Yeah. But I also kind of threw the caveat in here that there's two guys that are extremely important, and it's Mike Pouncey and it was Ryan Tannehill. Now it's Mike Pouncey and Jay Cutler. To me, they're kind of going to be tied at the hip because – I think you could attest to it by watching Jim Langer, the guy you played with, by watching Dwight Stevenson when he played here, and Mike Pouncey kind of in that same mold, a center who not only is a very good player himself, but he makes those two guards on either side of him better players when he's standing in there. And so to me, both of those guys are going to be as important as anybody else to the success offensively of this football team.
Well, you're right. And you know, Pouncey was the number one draft pick.
Yep.
And not only his ability, but also his intelligence. He recognizes, you know, you got a play call, and it's a good running play. But if they've got a defense that's it's not really going to be good, he can help a new quarterback
get out of it.
Exactly. Or he can change the line blocking where go ahead and run it, and we won't block it that old way, but this is a better way to block.
Yep.
So he can help out a new quarterback, a fresh quarterback. You know, I used to, back in the day when I was, when we were having some fun and we were ahead, or I'd say, all right, anybody got any suggestions? And
right.
I'd look at the offensive lineman. It was about time to call a play. And it was about time to call the play, and I'd say, anybody got any suggestions? And Larry Little would be the first guy to talk.
Right.
Run it over me. Run it over me. And then, of course, Langer, the center, said, no, he says it wouldn't be that good. Run it left.
Yeah.
And he'd they're prideful. You know,
Yeah, sure.
And Kuchenberg on the left side said, run it over me. Yeah. Run 13, you know. Then. So, but the center always knew.
Yeah.
The center always knows, and Pouncey's going to be a big help to Cullen.
Bob, how do you feel about this team optimistically? I mean, last year, they got off to just a horrendous start. And while Adam Gase was trying to really figure out what kind of team he has, still trying to figure out personnel, and then all of a sudden Pittsburgh, they break out, and Ajayi has a big game, 200-plus yards, and they go on a six-game winning streak, win 10 games, and get to the playoffs. And to a man, you talk, and I like the attitude of these guys because they're not talking about what we did last year, but there is an expectation. We're a playoff team. We need to get past that game. When you look at this football team, how do you feel about their chances of being that type of football team that can be – now, they can be better than they were last year and still not have the same record, which is part of the life in the NFL.
Exactly.
But as far as what you see put together.
They won a lot of close games last year. You know, they won a lot of close games. And it would be – is it wishful thinking to think that you could be a better team and win more games this year without Ryan Tannehill?
Yeah.
I mean, if you lose your quarterback, you know, are you going to win more games? So then you go back to 2008. 2008 when Pennington came in and they were 11-5 and nobody, and, you know, but the year before they were 1-15 and go back to 72 when Coach Shula brought in Earl Morrow and I go down and starting quarterback goes down and Earl Morrow comes in and he doesn't lose a game.
Yep.
So you never really know. I mean, you wish, you hope for the best, and you know,
it's a dogfight every week.
Oh,
yeah. And you talk about close games. I mean, one way or bounce the other. And for every team out there, for New England, for everybody out there, it's a – you know, I think the majority of games now, they're saying, you know, are determined by 3 points or less. And so you can tell. And I mean, it seems like every game you're sitting on that last drive, whether they got the football or you got the football, saying we need to get something done here to get this game won.
Or if they got the ball and they score, do they have enough – do we have enough time to go back – and score again, which some of the time last year we did. But let's just sit back and enjoy and see what develops.
Yep.
Let's see Adam Gase confidence in Jay Cutler. You know, Jay had a lot of success through his career.
Yep.
And he had the most success when he was in Chicago and Jay Adam Gase was talking in his ear.
Yep.
You know, he was out there on the field, and Adam was calling the play and telling him, you know, what the play was. So let's just sit back and see what develops.
Bob, so you came out of Purdue, second player picked in the draft behind, or you were the fourth player picked in the draft. Yeah. You were the runner-up to Steve Spurrier in the Heisman Trophy.
Right.
That's where you were number two there. But I was looking at some things. So you played when you played at Purdue, you played point guard in the basketball team. You pitched on the baseball team. 12-1 record as a pitcher at Purdue, right? And you played, and then you played point guard until a guy named Rick Mount came in and bumped you out.
Yeah, yeah.
pretty good shooter, Rick Mount.
I saw him coming in. I said, well, I think I'm going to retire from basketball. So I only played 2 years. But yeah. I saw Rick Mount coming in. I said, hey, this, you know, you don't need me. Yeah. You're in good stead there with him coming in. So,
but it's funny. I mean, we got, you know, certainly in this climate, in what we're doing, have more of the millennials, some of the younger people, and it's probably, they probably can't believe that, you know, in college you played baseball, basketball, and football in college. Two-time All-American in college, runner-up the Heisman Trophy, a lot of accomplishment on the football field. Nowadays, you would never think of having your quarterback of the football team playing baseball and playing basketball at a university.
Well, especially in the spring where, you know, spring football practice or baseball, you know.
Yeah.
So I had a tough time with that one.
Yeah.
The coach even told me my freshman spring, Jack Molenkopf said, I said, you told me I could play baseball in the spring when you recruited me.
Right.
He said, yeah, damn it, Greasy. He says, I told you. He says, but I'll tell you one thing. He says, if you don't come out for spring football practice, you're not going to be the starting quarterback in the fall.
So that was it.
So, yeah, I played spring football.
Yeah, good. Yeah. Well, Bob, it's been a pleasure having you on the program. I know we're going to get in and watch these guys practice a little day before the game practice here. But should be an exciting season. See Bob tomorrow night on the TV broadcast on CBS4. We can catch all that. And what time game? 7 o'clock game?
Yeah,
get started. So Dolphins get the season started against Atlanta. And Bob, it's going to be fun to be back in the Hard Rock Stadium and watching football going on.
It is. And like I said, we got punched in the stomach when Ryan got hurt. But let's
cards play out.
Let's just see what happens.
Yeah, yeah. You talk about the great, you know, going back to Chad Pennington, you know, your quarterback goes down, and I think it was Chad Henning.
Henning got hurt.
Henning goes down, and Pennington comes in. All of a sudden, we're on a run there. So who knows? I'm looking for a lot of good stuff. But again, WFR Channel 4, 7 o'clock. You can see it right live at your TV and. Catch Bob and Nat in the booth, and I'll be down there in the dirt.
You'll be down there
digging around down in the dirt a little bit.
I see you last year. We go to all these places in the December.
Yep.
It's cold, and you're down there with no socks
yep,
on.
Yeah, darn right.
No shirt, no hat.
If they can do it, I can do it.
I guess.
Right. I live in Florida. I'm too cheap to buy a coat, Bob, and I don't like wearing socks. Well, I don't care whatever the temperature. I can finally get to dry. I feel like I peed my pants here. I've been sitting in. The only thing I didn't do was sit in shit. But other than that, I've been sitting in, you know. But anyway.
All right.
Bob, pleasure having you, man. Right, appreciate it. That's going to do it for the Audible today. We'll be back on Friday. Friday, I think, will be an afternoon, or will be what about? Probably afternoon, but whatever. It'll pop up on your phone or on your computer or wherever it comes up. So we'll see you then. Hope you enjoyed the show and have a good weekend.